Athena. Also Athene. There doesn't seem to be any shade of meaning attached to the variant pronunciations and spellings. The qualities that Athena embodied were ones that would become the paramount virtues and accomplishments of the great city-state that would bear her name, Athens. Wisdom and insight were inherited from her mother, Metis. Handicraft, warcraft, and statecraft were hers. Law and justice, too. She took a share in what had been uniquely Aphrodite's domains of love and beauty. Athena's kind of beauty was expressed in aesthetics, in the apprehension of its ideal in art, representation, thought, and character, rather than in the more physical, obvious, and perhaps superficial kinds that would always be the business of Aphrodite. The love that Athena stood for had a less heated and physical emphasis, too. It was the kind that later became known as Platonic. The Athenians were to prize these attributes of Athena above all others, just as they prized her, their patroness, over all existing immortals. I say existing, for, as we shall discover, two other Olympian deities as yet unborn would soon play their part in defining what it was to be an Athenian and a Greek. In later years, Athena and Poseidon would vie for the special patronage of the city of Cecropia. He struck his trident into the high rock on which they stood and produced a spring of seawater, an impressive trick, but its saltiness rendered it more or less useless as anything more than a picturesque public fountain. Athena's simple gift was the first olive tree. The citizens of Cecropia, in their wisdom, saw the manifold benefits of its fruit, oil, and wood, and chose her as their presiding deity and protectress, changing the name of their city to Athens in her honour. Sea power, and the trade that it allowed, was to be the saving of Athens. It won them a startling victory over the Persians at Salamis, but the cultivation of the olive and the other crafts, arts, and techniques that were the domain of Athena were arguably of even greater importance. In Rome, she was worshipped as Minerva, but without really that special personal connection that the Greeks felt for her. Her favoured animals were the owl, that dignified symbol of watchful wisdom, and the serpent, in which guise her father had won her mother. The olive tree, whose soft and versatile fruit proved to be such a blessing to Greece, was sacred to her also. Besides her armour, Athena was always depicted with an aegis. No one is quite agreed as to precisely what this looked like. It is sometimes described as an animal skin. Originally goat, aiga, is a word for goat in Greek, though later pelts of lion or leopard can be seen in sculpture and ceramic representations. Zeus's aegis is generally held to have been a shield, perhaps covered with goatskin and often showing the face of a gorgon. Later human kings and emperors, keen to suggest semi-divine status, would throw an aegis over their shoulder as a mark of their right to rule. The word these days suggests a badge of leadership or authority. Acts are performed and proclamations made under the aegis of such and such a person, principle, or institution. The apparent gentleness of Athena's grey eyes belied a new kind of ideal, one which combined physical power with strength of character and strength of mind. It was not wise to anger her. Besides, if you crossed Athena, you crossed Zeus. He was besotted with his daughter, and she could do no wrong in his eyes. Ares, his least favourite child, made an interesting contrast to his new half-sister. They were both gods of war, but Athena's interests lay in planning, tactics, strategy, and the intelligent art of war, while Ares was a god of battles, combat, and all forms of fighting. He understood only violence, force, aggression, conquest, and coercion. It is distressing but essential to recognize that neither was as powerful when not allied with the other. Athena was often given the forename Pallas, and as Pallas Athene she protected her city Athens. The symbol of her guardianship was called the Palladium, a word that has somehow found its way into the naming of theatres, as well as giving us the element PD. The original Pallas was a daughter of the sea god Triton and a dear friend of Athena's. They would play semi-serious war games together. On one occasion, when Pallas was winning against Athena, Zeus, ever watchful and protective of his darling, intervened, and setting one of his thunderbolts to stun, knocked Pallas unconscious. Athena, in the heat of the moment, administered the coup de grace and killed her friend. Forever after, she took her name as a sorrowful token of her enduring affection and remorse. Athena, like Demeter, remained untouched by man. Parthenos, the Greek word for virgin, was often attached to her name, hence the Parthenon, her temple in the Acropolis. Her childless, single life and her youthful relationship with Pallas has led some to maintain that she should stand as a symbol of feminine same-sex love.